You'll bring the preach out of somebody. That's what will happen here. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. Man, you look good. Thank you so much for making it a priority to be in the house of the Lord today. Are you glad you came?
Yeah.
Praise God. I'll tell you, as I minister today, and by the grace of God, the message that I preach is going to somehow find a lodging place in your heart. And I want to challenge the young people and the adults in this room that as I speak biblical principles today, I want you to just allow it in your mind. How would your life have been different if you got this message, not just heard it, but got it when you were this age? How would your life be different if you got it when you were at this age? Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost moving. We have a responsibility today that the message that God delivers today, we do our absolute best to help every soul in this building get it today. Because we have a chance to let God change their lives like we had the opportunity. And maybe we didn't get it like we get it now. So think about it. When I minister the word of God, go back in your world. What would it have been like when I was 12, 13, and 14 if I knew, remembered, thought about, activated what he's teaching right now? That means it's time to pray with our young people at this altar. It's time to remind them some of the key words that I'm going to mention today, some hooks that I'm going to hang some things on. That when you remind them these things, they're going to remember the message today. And it's up to us. God has given us a powerful ability to influence our children. And let's do that intentionally for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. It is so good to be here today. Man, it is so good to be here. I am thankful that this church ministers to me like this. This church ministers to me. Every one of you have spoken. All of us have challenges. And in one of those challenges, God gives you such a family as this one. It will make a difference in your life as it has made a difference in my life. I look forward to the future of this church. I look forward to the new things. Now, I like old things too. And I need God's help when it comes to new things sometimes. You ask my wife, I want to hang on to everything. Oh, I could go there for a while. But God has something new for me. And one of the best things I've ever done was let go of some things and pick up some new things. It's hard. I don't like change, but I'm so glad God has given me the grace to do what needs to happen in my world. I'm talking about some change. You might go home differently than you came today. You might go to work in the morning and somebody say, man, you're different. What happened to you? What's so different about you today? You're just different. Be ready to tell them, I've been in the presence of the Lord. Man, I've had something you got to have. You got to go where I'm going. You got to see what I've seen. It worked for me and it'll work for you. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. I want to take a moment to, as Pastor has already done, as so many have already done, to thank every one of you that have had anything to do with this wonderful event. It takes an army to put together an event like this, and I am speaking to an army. I'm speaking to a group of volunteers that go exceeding and abundant. They go step out of the box. They work hard, invest their time, their energy, their money. They give things up so that these things can take place, and your efforts are well received, and they are eternally impactful. Thank you so much for that, every one of you. Everyone, why don't we do that? Just give a hand to all of those that have had anything to do with it. Praise God. Brother Kento, Sister Bianca, thank you so very much for everything that it takes to put this team together. Thank you, Sister Tiffany. Thank you so much, Steve, and all of you, Joey, helping us out, Layla and Kate. Thank you so much for taking care of us like you have. Praise God. It has been so good. It's so good to see my friends as life just goes forward and things happen. I'm excited to see the Bernards here. I'm excited to see their children. I'm excited to see you. I'm just excited to be here. Praise God. Praise God. We had a great time yesterday, and if your kids went home itching and you didn't know why... Man, one of the little girls said that while she was not really paying attention much to service, and she kind of came to reality about the time everybody was laying in the floor scratching like they had mites. I almost said it. And she didn't really say, what in the world are they doing down there? Well, they were getting the message, right? Sometimes when we come into a battle, the enemy is supposed to take off running. And sometime when it's a trap, we need to take off running. Your flesh will get you if you let it. And if you entertain a thought longer than you should, you're going to give in to it. We talked about having six of those things in the refrigerator that you say, well, I'm fighting that. You better not fight it. You better get rid of it. Because there will be a weakness come one day. You know, there might be some things in your cabinet that you might need to get rid of. There might be some games you've got tucked away behind the ones you've got that mom knows about. You might just need to get rid of it. Well, okay. Well, that's all right. Praise God. I saw a wonderful altar call. Thank you, young people, for praying like you did. And parents and grandparents, thank you for supporting our children in this altar call. I saw some kids reaching out to heaven and touching God. And I saw God touching our children. That happened because of you. And it's going to happen today. Young people, God is going to give you a chance to learn something that will change your life forever. How many of you want to learn something that will change your life forever? Look at this. Look at this. Praise God. You're in the right place. Praise God. You're doing the right thing. We played a fun game yesterday. I remember you guys were absolutely crazy. And today I'm going to remind you of it, but we're not going to react the same way. This time, when I say the key word, instead of scratching like you've got some kind of disease, I want you to just scratch your head like this and ponder. Let's try it like that. Hold your head up here and just go, Not because you have fleas, but That was yesterday. Just, Is this a battle that I fight, like Pastor said, that I get on my knees and I worship God through it? That works. You know, just any battle prayer will work. But if you're like me, I don't really spend my whole life in prayer. I mean, I know. I mean, somebody once said, you know, I rarely go an hour in prayer, but then I rarely go an hour without talking to God. Prayer will help you in anything. If we could just live in that spot, it'd be awesome. But some of us go to work, and some of us go to the grocery store, and we go to Walmart, and things happen. You know, we go to school, and kids are doing crazy stuff. And sometimes I've got to just think, is this something I need to fight, and it's going to flee? Or is this something that I need to turn around and run from? Put some distance between me and that. And I hope you think about that, young people. I want you to be able to do that. So let's think about, do I need to run from it? Now, you don't run from an enemy. You run from a trap. Don't run from an enemy. You run from a trap. Praise God. Praise God. Today, we're going to go fishing. We're going to go fishing. Anybody ever gone fishing before? Raise your hand if you've gone fishing before. Some of you have gone fishing. All right, now some people, when you fish, you just barely fish like this. And some of you, when you go fishing, you fish like this. I'm going to see what kind of fisherman you are. On the count of three, I want you to go fishing like you think you go fishing. If it's a little one, I just want you to flick it. But if you go fishing with the big way, you're going to look around. You're going to see some people casting their lure. Oh, good. Good word right there. We don't want to cast a fishing pole. If you do that, you're not going to be a whole lot of fishing going out. All right, on the count of three, you ready? One, two, three. Reel it in, reel it in, reel it in, reel it in, reel it in. You got a bite, pull it. Oh, my goodness gracious. Man. Oh, my heart's beating faster. It's been so long since that happened in real life. Oh, man. I've got a buddy back home. Man, he catches fish every time. I couldn't catch a fish if somebody threw it to me. But, oh, well.
Oh, well. What kind of supplies do you need when you go fishing? What do you need? Somebody said it earlier. You don't cast your pole. You cast what out there? A lure. You cast a lure. What else do you cast out there? What? Somebody said it starts with B and ends at 8? Bait. Yes, that's exactly right. You have bait. And depending on what you're doing and how you do it, you might cast out a lure. Everyone say lure. Or you might hook some bait on the end of your line, right? That's exactly right. It depends on what kind of fish you're fishing for, where you are, what the surroundings are like. You know, are you fishing for food? Are you fishing for sport? There's some things like that that you have to decide when it comes to fishing. Fishing. How many of you wish you could just go fishing right about now? Man, some of you do. I'm glad I'm here and I'm glad you're here, but fishing does sound good. Jesus, in fact, said that he wanted to make us fishers of men. Evidently, fishing was near and dear to the Lord's heart. That bass tracker is in the budget. Maybe not. I'm not sure about that. But he wasn't talking about catching fish, catching dinner, or catching this big trophy bass. What he was talking about was catching people, reaching into the world, reaching into the lives of people who don't know what you know, who's going through problems without the love of God evident in their life. With they hear the voice and they feel the feeling, but they don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to respond. We're having church in these walls, and they're driving by right now needing what we have. And the Bible says, I want you to reach into that world, and I want you to reel them in. I want you to teach them the things you know and introduce them to me. That's what our purpose in here. We're fishers of men. We're reaching out there, and we want to draw them in. The scripture says, draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. You want to be close to God? You want God to be near you? Draw close to God. Sometimes we're just facing the wrong direction, and all we need to do is turn around. Turn our back on some things and turn our face towards some things. Sometimes the battle is that easy. You're just facing the wrong direction. You don't necessarily need to work harder. You just need to turn around. You don't necessarily need to work harder. You don't have to give up more things, but maybe we just need to turn around, get a different perspective, because I believe the Lord can do those kinds of things. Amen? Amen. Praise God. May I propose to you that the devil also goes fishing? Yeah, the devil goes fishing. He sure does. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 4, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means human. They're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. I want you to remember that, like we talked about yesterday, there's a spiritual battle in our lives. That means we fight it with different kinds of tools. We fight it with the help of the Lord. Pastor said it so well right there. When we're on our knees and when we're praying and when we're worshiping God, we're defeating an enemy. We're able to do things that we could not do without God. It's a spiritual battle. If you've ever gone out to the ocean and you tried to hold back those waves, you're going to lose that battle. You're not equipped for that. You hold back the waves and see how that goes. You hold one little spot back and it's just going to wash right around you. You're not equipped for that, but you let God hold. He does it. The Bible says that he tells that water where to go. He put shoreline and beaches and rocks and cliffs, and he did all kinds of things that stops that water. But you can't do it by yourself. Try it. But we're doing it in our lives. Young people, you're trying to stop things in your life from happening, and you're trying to do things by yourself that you'll never be able to do them without the help of God. But with the help of God, it'll be easy to do it. If we would just get on our knees sometimes and take care of the real problem, the problem that you know is the problem, but you're trying to do it another way. Hello, is there anybody that's trying to figure out an easier way before you know to do what you know to do? Maybe. No, I'm the only one that's done that. Oh, well. Oh, well. The battle is for good decisions. If we could learn to make good decisions, I want to help some young people. I might even help a grown-up or two make a good decision. A good decision. And I want to make good decisions.
If I could make a good decision, my life would be different. I saw the young people yesterday while we were playing this game, and I said that one of these colors is the color you step on it, you lose. And they chose these colors, and they thought they were winning. They were even getting prizes at the end. They thought they were winners. They were blessed and happy. And then at judgment day, time to hand out the trophy, I said, all of you lost. That was a trap. There was no way to win that. And because you played, you lost. I didn't tell you the rules. I didn't tell you the secret little thing on the side. I didn't tell you that the sheet that I told you to stand on was the color that if you played the game, you lost. Folks, there are games in this world that if we play, the mere act of playing that game means we've lost. There's some games we don't need to play. There's some games we don't need to play. There's some places we don't need to go. There's some people we don't need to hang out with. Not that they're bad people, but they're not good for me. I wish I'd have known that when I was 5 years old. 6 and 7, it would have made second grade two of the easier years in my life. Some of you got that. So how does the devil go fishing? I want to tell you about this. The devil goes fishing. Just like you said and how you go fishing, he uses two things that we just talked about. He uses bait and he uses the lure. The devil, when he goes fishing, he uses bait and he uses a lure. But there's a difference in what he's using and what I think he's using. The difference is he's got a very sharp hook in his stuff. And even though it looks good, it's going to get you. And it will hold on to you, and you can fight it and fight it. And there's a chance you could spit it out like every bass I've ever tried to catch. But then you could get a hold of one of James's hook, and it's coming in because he catches everything that goes on his line. He knows what to do. He knows how to pull that thing just right. He knows how to hook that fish and hook him good. And there's a devil that has made it his life goal to learn how to hook you and hook you good. I wish you'd have known this when you were 5 years old. I believe God wants to give us a nudge and help us to discern the difference between good and evil, between truth and a lie, between something we think we want, food, and something that will destroy us, bait. I wish I could tell you that I never got in trouble for any lie that I ever told. Have I ever told you how to never get in trouble for telling a lie again? Young people, would you like to know the secret to never getting in trouble for a lie ever again? Raise your hand. Nobody in here has ever done that. All right, one person wants to be able to get out of trouble for telling a lie. Accidentally. I don't mean no problem. Here's what it is. I mentioned it yesterday, and I want to thank the young lady that let me tell her about this. The next time you tell a lie, while the lie, because sometimes you're talking and all of a sudden a lie falls out. Grown-ups, hello? You're telling a story about that fish that you caught on Saturday? Man, you should have seen that thing. I caught 7. Whoop, blah, there it fell out right there. I was just talking, blah, there it went. And you're like, did I say 7? Yeah, 7. You said, yeah, 7. Really 6, but yeah, 7. And you tell a story, and another lie falls out. And as young people, mom asked us, hey, have you cleaned your room yet? Yes. It fell out before you even had a chance. Anybody done that before? Has it ever happened? 1, 2, 3. Okay, yeah, good. I'm normal like everybody else in here. Here's the trick. If in the very same breath that lie falls out, you go, whoa, wait, that's a lie. I'm telling you, it'll change your life. As soon as the lie comes out in the same breath without even thinking, say, whoop, that's a lie. And then tell the truth. No, you don't see, that's revolutionary. That'll change your life. Whoop, that's a lie. And then tell them the truth. Even if you're smiling, that's a lie. Oh, come on. I'm telling you, you get this, don't you? It'll change your life. Because one of the worst things to do is to tell a lie accidentally and then to have to tell 20 lies on purpose. Don't you wish you knew that when you were a kid? Whoop, that's a lie. And then tell the truth. Let's try that. On the count of three, say, whoop, that's a lie. 1, 2, 3. Whoop, that's a lie. And then tell the truth.
If you teach yourself to do that, automatically, by the time you say it, you go, whoop, now I'm committed. But that lie can just go away. You can recognize that that's that flesh trying to get me, and that's something that's in me that I need to get out. And you'll teach yourself to not become a deceiver. The devil is a deceiver. Every lie comes from the pit of hell that wants to destroy you. Every lie. Every lie. He's the liar and the father of lies. And I can't believe sometimes I actually listen to him. Never listen to a liar. Never. That's why we can't lie, because nobody can listen to us when we lie. Because bad information is worse than no information. And the trick of a really good liar is they tell you lots of truth, and at the last minute they slip in a lie. And then you believe them. And that makes you cause you to make really bad decisions. The problem is when you tell a lie that people make bad choices on that. How do you know the difference in something you're supposed to have, let's say food, and bait? What's the difference? See, that's the thing. Bait is something you should have. It's a fish. Fish eat little fish, right? It's a worm. Fish eat worms all the time. You see a little worm in the water, there it goes. Is a fish supposed to eat a worm? Yeah. Is a fish supposed to eat another little fish? Is a fish, is it smart for a fish to bite a piece of bait? Not if you're a fish. Well, what's the difference in a little fish swimming out there that you're supposed to eat? Okay, let me break this down. What's wrong with playing football on Saturday? Having a good time with your friends? Absolutely nothing. What's wrong with enjoying yourself? What's wrong with listening to music? Nothing at all. There's nothing wrong with those things inherently. The only difference is some of those things have a hook in it. We've got to learn which one of these things have a hook in it, because something that looks like something I can do without a problem, something that dresses up like something that it's nutritious, it's food. I can look at that. Man, that's a worm, and I love worms. But this worm has a hook in it. And if you take this worm, it's going to get you. Nothing wrong with football, but if you skip church to do it, look out. Nothing wrong with having friends, but look out if one of those friends begins to pull you into some things you shouldn't be doing. It's got a hook in it. There's something. That's why you need a pastor in your life. That's why you need to listen to your parents. That's why you need to pray, because some stuff that's really good for you is fine, except it's got a hook in it. Pastor, I want this. I got an opportunity for a new job, and I know God is in it. I know God is in it. Oh, really? One, it's going to let me pay off my bills. Oh, man, that's great. It's going to let me this. The only problem is I have to move in the middle of the Sahara Desert where there is no church. Everybody say, that's a hook. Oh, thank the Lord, Pastor. I've been praying for a breakthrough, and God has given me 42 hours of overtime this week. All on Sunday and Wednesday, and through prayer time and through family time. And look out, there's a hook of destroy your family, destroy your soul in that. There's nothing wrong with working. There's nothing wrong with overtime. There's nothing wrong with paying your bills. But sometimes there's a hook. Wouldn't it be great if you'd have known this back then? If you would have been able to discern the things that are good for you, but they have a hook in it. There's nothing wrong. So many things that the scripture teaches us to look out for are good things, but some of them have a hook in it. I want to know the difference in one of those things that has a hook in it. What about a lure? Now, hear me. A lure is a lie. A lure is not good for you. You never eat plastic. A fish does not eat plastic. It doesn't eat styrofoam. It doesn't eat metal. This just looks appetizing, but it's not. This just looks like something fun, but it's not. See, a couple of ways you can catch a fish is you can throw one of them fancy lures that jiggles and jiggles and jiggles when you really. There's some that look like predators. Looks like it's going to try to steal their kids. Oh, daddy's over them eggs. You know, he's watching those eggs. That old bass will just sit there over that little hole like that. And you throw a certain thing out there and rattle it right across his nose. He goes, he'll come after it. And he's going to find a hook. And then who's going to watch those babies? Daddy's caught. Daddy's on his way. He's getting reeled into hell itself.
nobody to watch those babies now. Sometimes we can get so frustrated. We can get so run out. We can get so tired and exhausted of doing the right thing. Hello? We start doing the wrong thing. Sometimes the right thing out of proportion, the right thing at the wrong time, the right thing without guidance, the right thing without some support, the right thing without boundaries can cause us to lose an opportunity to take care of our children. Boy, I wish I'd have known that when I was younger. I wish, goodness, I'd have learned that there are some things in my life that are designed to trap me. They look like something I ought to have. Young people, listen, when you're at school, you're going to meet some kids that are going to look like somebody you want to be like. They got stuff that you want. They got stuff that can make you cool. They got stuff that can make you popular in school. They got it. Everybody, look what they're driving. And if I just do a little bit of what they're doing, I could have a little bit of what they have. Look out. It's got a hook in it. And once it hooks you, you might not be able to shake it off. There's some words you can say, young people. There's some words that you can get in your vocabulary. It can get stuck in your head. You say them at school, but you don't say them at home. You say them when you're away, but you got to be careful not to say that in front of grandma. And one day you're going to say, would you pass the mashed potatoes? And instead of saying, would you pass the mashed potatoes, something else is going to come out. Because it's in your head. It's been put in your head. The music you listen to, the conversations that you're around, the thoughts that roll over in your mind, sometimes they're just going to fall out and you're in trouble. They don't do it anymore, I don't think. But in the old days, you used to get your mouth washed out with soap. And they made soap that tasted bad back then. Oh, I can remember. I don't remember what I did. I really have no clue, but I remember the soap. Yes, literally a bar of soap. The floaty kind. And you had to put it in your mouth. And she watched you. Rub it, rub it, rub it, rub it, rub it. It better foam or you're not doing it right. It looked like some kind of rabid dog. Old Yeller right here. Boy, that's going back. Washing you. Because you can't stop those things. Once you allow it in your mind, you can't just push it out. There's some things in life that have a hook in it. Mom, dad, listen. Young people, this is true. But mom and dad, hear me. Get accustomed to looking at things that you're tempted to do, you're drawn to do, or you're considering doing, and ask yourself, could this be bait? Could it be something used to draw me away from God? Could this be a lure? Could this look like something I need to go to and fix? And could this be a confrontation that just needs to happen? Because boy, I need to straighten them people out. You just can't pull out in front of people like that. What? Guilty. I don't want to be that way. Sometimes I just got to stop, and I just got to stop. And I got to think, that's a trap. That's a trap, and I'm not going to fall for it again. Hold your finger up like this and say, that's a trap. That's a trap. The enemy wants to trap you. The enemy has got lures that look so appealing to you, that make sounds that just trigger something in you. There are things you can put in front of your eyes that will cause you to feel ways you've never felt before. And then you go back and go back, and it's just not there before. So you dig deeper in the darkness, and you shovel in the mud, and you burrow down into the pits of this dirty earth to try to find something that works. That one doesn't work anymore. You got anything else? You got anything else? One doesn't work, so I need two. Two don't work. I need four. That's too expensive. I'm going to mix it with something else. This works for them. It works for them. Maybe it'll work for me. Oh, young people, listen. There are traps in this world. Learn
to discern. You know what would happen? If we were to go to our mom and our dad, if we were to go into our pastor's office, our pastor's wife, and say, this probably is nothing, but there was something in my mind I was considering. Now, don't ask them what to do. Don't ask them, what do I do? They don't know. Ask them this. What things do I need to consider when making a decision like this? They can tell you that. What kind of things do I need to keep in mind when I feel the Holy Ghost? Somebody's life is going to be changed because they're going to stop and think. Young people, hear me. What things do I need to consider when making a decision like this? If we would learn to ask that question, young people, teens, if we could ask our parents, believe it or not, they have some knowledge. There'll be a day you turn like 26, your insurance goes down, and it's going to be amazing how smart mom and dad got. I get it. All of us get it. We've been there. What things do I consider when making a decision like this? It's your decision. It's your call. But if you'll ask mom, hey, I've got my allowance, and I'm thinking about getting one of these or one of those. What things do I need to consider? Well, how often are you going to use this? Do you have a plan, a bigger thing? Maybe you want to save, get a little thing now, and then save up what's left until you can get a really nice thing that you've been really wanting. Or do you want to do this, or do you want to do that? Oh, I never thought of that. I didn't think about that. Should I take my money with me to Walmart? We're not going to buy a car. We're just going to go look. You look at me like you've never done it. I'm just looking. Look out. You guys are so guilty. You know what I mean? Some of you have been bit by that bug so many times, you've got what I call the timeshare mentality when you go to church. You want me to tell you about that? That's when you're not living right, but you're living happily. You know that spot right in the middle? That's that part where you're living, you know, as best as you can without living as good as you could. That little place right there. And you decide to come to church, but you tell yourself, no matter what he says, I'm not buying it. That's that timeshare mentality. No matter, I know when I get there, I'm going to really feel like that's what I'm going to feel like. I want to go to that altar, but look, I am not going. When you say, honey, we're going to church, but I am not going to that altar. We've said it or we've thought it. Look, I'm going to go to service today, but look, with what I did yesterday, there is no way I can feel right about myself asking God to forgive me. That is a trap. That is a trap. Young people, grown-ups already know this. They just needed to be reminded, and that was good enough. But for you, I want to tell you that it doesn't matter what you've done. The right thing to do is to say, Lord, I just realized that that was a mistake. Would you forgive me? I'm sorry, and I'm going to do my best not to do that again. And you make a plan so that that will happen. Lord, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? I'll never do that again. Bait, a lure, a lie. If we could pick up on these kinds of things, God would use that knowledge to change your world. Do you feel the Holy Ghost just kind of, it's kind of like he's got his arms wrapped around us today, and he's just rocking us in his love, and he's just saying, look, son, I got to tell you some things. You don't know your future like I know your future. You don't know what's around the corner, and you've been busy and you've been good, but I need to catch you today, and I need to slow you down a little bit, and I need to tell you some things that you already know. But if you'll hang on to this in the next few weeks, it's going to save you a heap of pain. It's going to save you years of debt. It's going to save you an incredible disease that's going to wipe out you and your family. I can help you, the Lord says. But I got to speak to you in a way that you can understand. So I got this turkey that I'm going to bring up from Arkansas. And he's going to remind you of a few things. Just like when we face the battle, the first thing I'm going to do is decide, do I flee or does the enemy flee? That was good. But this time we're going to go,
Do I flee or does the enemy flee? The next thing we're going to go is, oop, that's a lie. Raise your hand, go, oop, that's a lie. Same breath. And then I'm going to tell the truth. Oop, that's a lie. It's going to work for you. It's going to work for you. And then when you get that feeling, I think that's got a hook in it. I think that's got a hook in it. That looks like groceries. That looks like a piece of fish like I would normally eat. That looks like fun. That looks like something I could do with no problem. And you probably could under normal circumstances, but this is a trap. It looks good for you, but it's got a hook in it. Does this have a, Pastor, here's a decision that I'm trying to make. And I feel pretty good about what I've decided, but I want to come to you to make sure I'm thinking about the right things. And I'm giving you the permission and access to my decision-making parts of me that says I'm prepared to change my decision. I'm not coming to ask you to approve of my decision. I'm just coming to see if I missed something. You might have done a great job. Nope, I believe you've thought of everything. You've thought of everything that you could think of. We don't know the future. There's no way to know if it's a good choice or a bad choice. You know, we can't predict what the market's going to do. You have no idea what other people are going to do. But you could go to a pastor. You go to your mom. Look, you want to impress your mom or your grandma, your granddad, your Sunday school teacher. You say, I've been thinking about something. I just want to make sure I'm thinking about the right things. Here's my proposal. What do you think? How many of you would commit to that? Just think about it one time. How many of you will go to someone when you're about to? Oh, don't worry. Raise your hand. Come on. Don't stop. I don't care if you're the only one in here that's going to do it. I want you to raise your hand before God that says, look, I'm going to think about that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Young people, thank you very much. Thank you. Hey, what things do I need to consider when making a decision like this? Is this the right time in my life to make this decision? There are some situations you don't need to make a decision in. When you go back and think about the worst decisions you've ever made, I guarantee you, you've made them under some of these circumstances. Number one, you were exhausted. You were emotional. Don't make a decision while you're emotional. That's why salespeople will get you emotional before they ask you to make a decision. It's a trap. I'm going to sleep on it. Oh, if you sleep on it, it'll be gone in the morning. Devil does the same thing. It's a tactic. It's what we do. I got to catch you while you're emotional. When you're hungry. Look, when your husband comes home from work and he's tired, he's hungry, don't ask him for something you want him to say yes to. You know what to do. Take care of him. Take care of him a little bit extra. Yeah. Taking my shoes off, my boot, you letting them on? You bringing me a cup of coffee? Wait a minute now. This is feeling good. What do you need? If you're good, you'll be like Queen Esther. Oh, nothing now. I'll tell you later. And tomorrow, the same thing. He's going, I don't think I can afford this. But not when he's upset, not when he's tired, not when he's exhausted, because you make bad decisions in those times. And when you're in pain, oh, how many of the bad decisions that you've made have you made when you've been in pain? Don't make a decision that's going to affect your future when you're in pain. Because when you're in pain, somebody just hurt your feelings. You're coming out of a relationship. Hello, somebody. Is this thing still okay? Good. When you're coming out of a relationship, you're coming out of a broken heart. You're coming out of someone who injured you, someone who offended you, someone that hurt you. And you've got to make a decision, something that's going to affect the rest of your life. Be careful. There's a hook in that. Amen. Moms, dads, grandma, and grandpas, how many of you, if you'd have got this long time ago, your life would be better today? Young people, I want you to look around and I want you to look at the testimony of people that says what you're thinking right now is a wise choice. When you feel that unction, that move of God, I want you to stop and I want you to listen. Wait, that's a lie. Does this have a hook in it? Is this something that I flee from or that the enemy flees from? I believe I'm telling you the truth. I believe that the Holy Ghost is going to confirm this message. I believe that God
is going to give you what you need right now. Because there's an unction that comes to you that gives you the strength to stop and say, wait a minute, that's a lie. That gives you the strength to say, wait, does this have a hook in it? This is really not a bad thing, but does it cause a bad thing? You can't think of that if you're not in the right mindset. You need to hear the voice of God. You need to be able to discern or to recognize the voice of God. When the Holy Ghost moves through, you got to be able to know that was the Holy Ghost. And our problem is this world hurts us. And because the world hurts us, we got to wear padding. And we got so much padding on that when the Lord begins to tap us on the shoulder, we don't even feel it. So we need time that we come to an altar. Out there, somebody could throw something at you. There's sharp things. Maybe you need some padding and protection out there, but you don't need that in here. You're in the presence of God. All that armor can come off in here. This is where we get close to God. This is where tears come down the eyes of a half centurion, an old person that's got an ego, that wants to be a man, wants to be tough, wants to catch fish. Pfft, oh well. Wants people to like him. But I'm afraid if I start crying and I start making those weird crybaby faces, you know the ones I'm talking about where your lip goes and your face turns red and gets all snotty and sloppy. I don't want to do that in front of these people. But you know what? My life depends on it. My wife needs me to get that out of my head and touch him. My wife needs me to get to an altar. My pastor needs a church that are focused on God, that can do hard things that are impossible in the flesh, but only possible through people that are close to God and have the mind of God and have the will of God and they're in line with the process of God. You're not doing this for you. You're a part of something great. You're a link in the chain. Young people, you are more than just a nuisance. You're not a problem. I grew up thinking I was a mistake. My mother used to tell me I was a mistake. I was unplanned. You were a mistake. She didn't mean to hurt me like she did, but I suffer today from those reckless words. You are a mistake. You are a mistake. You're a liability. You're a problem. What am I going to do with you? You weren't planned. Fortunately, I was born about 6 years before R.V. Wade. I was a mistake. I'm not a mistake. I am a product of God's hands. He formed me and he fashioned me and he made me and he loves me. He cares about me. I am the apple of his eye. He puts me where I am and he encourages me where I go. He is leading me today because I said, not my will, but yours be done. And when he calls me down, I get down. When he lifts me up, I stand up. Let's stand right now. When he begins to move on my heart, I'm not ashamed to lift my hands before him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy Ghost, mighty God, I know you're in this house, God. And I know this is the message you asked me to deliver today. I know this is what you wanted me to do. And I wanted to do a great job and be all this and all that. But this is doing a good job. God, I pray with all that is in me that your spirit would begin to move across this service. And as these musicians begin to come, God, the first note that is played, ride it like a wave into my heart. Bring to my mind things that I need to take care of. Lord, speak to me in ways I need to hear. Every young person in this building, don't be afraid of what you look like. Don't be afraid of what you sound like. Every one of us need to make our way to an altar, and we need to cry out to God. And then we need to stand up and lift our face to heaven and love on him and worship him and get excited and get happy because the Lord loves me. Repentance goes like this. Lord, I'm sorry. Say it with me. Lord, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? I'll never do it again. The Lord says yes. Yes. It's from a place like that that I realize I'm not sad. The enemy may be destroying a perfectly good altar call with the feelings of guilt and sadness. Lord, you said that if I confess that you are faithful and you're just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hear me. Don't let God, or don't let the enemy steal another one of God's altars. You know how he does it? I'm going to go to the altar and I'm going to bury my face. And instead of repenting, I'm going to cry. Instead of getting things right, I'm going to go right up to the edge. But Lord, I've got plans tomorrow. And if I repent, I can't do those things. I've got stuff in my house I spent a lot of money on. I can't repent from those things. I'm not getting rid of them. I don't know what to do. I'm in a quandary. Whatever. Let me just tell you this. Don't worry about anything except right now. Don't worry about a lifelong decision. Worry about a right now decision. Genuinely, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I ask you to bring to mind right now the thing that you need to take care of in our life. What separates you from me? What is it that's separating us? God, bring it to my mind right now. Oh, there was like four things that came to your mind. Those things right there. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? I'm not going to do those things again. God, would you forgive me for that? Lord, when I go to this altar, I'm not going to go burying my face in guilt and sadness. I'm going to approach that altar considering you are the God that gave me very life that I have. You're the breath that I breathe. You're my victory, God. And when I go to the altar this time, I'm going as a victor. I'm going as a winner. I'm going because I'm on the team that's crossing the finish line, that you are pleased with me. I can't think about tomorrow. I'm thinking about right now. God, I'm going to be in your presence, unashamed and not guilty, in the name of Jesus. I'm going to give you a few minutes. I want you to pray. I need you to take out the trash. Take out the trash. Because in about 30 seconds, we're going to have an altar call like you've never had before. There's time for weeping. That's what the Bible says. But there's time for rejoicing. And if we'll stop and think about the goodness of the Lord and what he's done for you and the fact that you are clean and you're smarter than you've ever been, you are more experienced than you've ever been, and God is at this altar not just to forgive you for your sins, but to invest in you and to pour in you joy unspeakable and fullness of glory. Taking out the trash is the only prerequisite. Lord, if there's anything in my life that separates from me from you, God, I ask you to take care of it. When I go to that altar, it's going to be a clean place. Clean place. Ah. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody touch God for me, would you? Somebody pray for that one. Somebody be the strength that one beside you might need. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is my day. Joy of the Lord is my strength. I've been saying I need a little bit of strength. I've been saying I'm tired. But here is my answer at a children's revival. Woo! Lord, I have been guilty for the last time. This time is going to be different. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to give you 10 seconds. Look at your spot at the altar. And when you come, I want you to stretch from this wall all the way to this wall. We're not going to plug up the middle. We're going to stretch it out. Hands lifted, face to God, loving on his presence, worshiping him with a 10, 9, here it is, God. 8, this is what you've been waiting for. 7, this is what's going to change the world. 6, oh, it's all worth it now. 5 seconds until my life is changed. 4, are you ready? Are you ready? 3, I don't want you to hesitate. I want you to run when it's time. 2, are you ready? 1, now! Come quickly, faster, faster, faster. Don't look around. Faster, hands up. You're in the presence of God. You're in the presence of God. I am pleased with you. I am pleased with you.
I love it when you worship. I love your praise. You look good, church. This is different. This is different. This is different. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love what I feel, and I feel what I love. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Can you imagine with all of the faith in the room?